If you have your Bibles, take them, go to Luke chapter number 2. Again, we're going to read the same text we read last night. And if you're physically able, I'd invite you to stand at this time. In Luke chapter number 2, we're going to read the first 20 verses again of this wonderful text. Luke chapter number 2. And of course, we'll begin this morning in verse number 1. It might be that some of you already read this around the Christmas tree this morning as you opened up some presents. But let's read it again. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to spend some time here together in your word and in this text on this Christmas morning. Thank you for Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for a full auditorium this morning. Lord, I believe that it's a good representation of the people here that, Lord, we as a whole believe that you truly are the reason for the season. God, that we love you and we celebrate you and what you did and your birth and your life and your death on the cross. And I even pray this morning, God, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would come to know you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Been working our way, of course, through the Gospel of Luke. And we've been watching as God planned to send his son into the world unfolded, beginning in chapter number 1 through Zacharias and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, and then the angel coming to Mary and Joseph. And I reminded you a couple of weeks ago that when man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, that God made a promise right off of that, that he would one day send a Redeemer into this world, and that this Redeemer would come and that he would save the sinners from their sin and make a way for all of us to go to heaven. And so as we work our way through the Old Testament from that point on, all throughout the Old Testament, God worked to bring these events to pass. Every sacrifice, every ritual of the Jewish worship, everything God did, it was steadily moving toward the moment when God would bring his Lamb into this world to pay the price to save men from their sin. I reminded you again a couple of weeks ago, but I think of that occasion when a brokenhearted father by the name of Abraham, as he walked up a mountainside with his only son, Isaac, he was taking that son to the top of the mountain, and the idea would be that he would there offer him as a sacrifice. On the way up that mountain, Isaac asked his father, Abraham, about what they were doing. And here's what the Bible records they said that day. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and he took a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Isaac said, Behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The text that we've read this morning tells us about that night when the father's promise was fulfilled, when that lamb was sent into this world. It was about the moment, our text is about that moment when God's promise to send his Redeemer into this world was fulfilled. And so tonight, or this morning, I want to look at the events of that night 2,000 years ago. And I want you to consider with me about how God provided his lamb on that night. I want you to notice three things out of this text, and we won't be long this morning, but three things that I think can be a help and an encouragement to you. Number one, I want you to consider the place that was involved in him bringing forth his lamb. The fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us. It was not an accident. In fact, the prophet Micah had prophesied many years before when he said, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. And so the prophet prophesied and said, This one, this everlasting God, he would come forth and be born there in the city of Bethlehem. And so while it doesn't surprise us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, what might surprise us and what we might find unusual is all the events surrounding his arrival. I find it amazing. Verse 4 again, it tells us that Mary and Joseph, that they lived in Nazareth. This city would have been about 70 miles north of Bethlehem. And so the fact that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, something miraculous would have to happen. And so something was going to have to take place for it to happen in the right location. And that's exactly what happens. A series of events work together to bring that to pass. We read in our story that a pagan emperor by the name of Caesar Augustus, a man that lived thousands of miles away, he issues this decree that all of the subjects under his rule are to go and be registered and taxed in the city of their lineage. And so there it is, and this order for the census is sent out. It goes out far and wide, and so the call is issued, and it comes to this man by the name of Joseph. And it just so happens that he takes his spouse wife, Mary, and they begin to return to their ancestral city of his family, which just happens to be Bethlehem. Now, I understand that may not mean much to you today, but it does teach us that Caesar may have been ruling, but there was a God in heaven that was overruling. See, God in his providence was working out all the details necessary so that Jesus might be born exactly where the prophet said that he would be born, the way that he said he would be born, where he said he would be born. We're told in verse 7 that the Savior's entrance into this world was anything but glorious. See, when the young couple finally arrived in Bethlehem, they discovered there was not a place for them to stay. And so they found refuge in a stall used to house animals. When Mary delivered Jesus, she placed the baby Jesus into a feeding trough. You and I can't even comprehend the enormity of the truth that is contained here. I want you to imagine this. God Himself came into this world. The same God who made the universe, who spoke the worlds into existence, who created all things, that God came into this world as a little baby. And He was not born into a lap of luxury, but He humbled Himself. And as Paul told the church there at Philippi, he humbled Himself, took upon Himself the form of a servant, be made a man. His humble birth signified the kind of life that He would live while He was here on this earth. I remember in the book of Matthew one time that Jesus even talking to those who desired to follow Him, and he warned them and said of them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. You follow His life all the way through to the very end. And even at the very end of His life, He depended on others to provide the place and the things necessary for His burial. See, the God who made everything, the God who could have had anything, who owned it all, He chose to live a life of poverty. Someone might say, well, why? Why would He do that? What's the reasoning behind that? And there's really just one answer. The answer is because He loves us. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. I think it summarizes this thought perfectly. Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though He was God and He had and owned and was everything, for your sakes, put your name there, He became poor, that we through His poverty, we might have everything, including eternal life. In verse 7, it tells us that Mary took her baby and that she wrapped Him in swaddling clothes. I did a little work this week on the idea of what swaddling clothes are, and there's some differences of opinions. They tell us, and historians tell us, that in that day that many people would take and they would wrap their infant babies in strips of cloth in that time period, and they would do so because it would help strengthen their limbs and it would provide some protection for the child. But here's what I found interesting. These strips of clothes that they would wrap them in, these swaddling clothes, that they were the exact same type of cloth that were used when they would prepare bodies for their burial. See, even in His birth, there's a picture of Christ's death. And then again, it tells us that they took Him and they take Jesus and they laid Him in a manger. This word refers to a feeding trough where animals would find their food. Again, I don't find it an accident that the one who is called the bread of life was placed into a feed trough. See, He came to satisfy hungry souls of dying men. Therefore, it was appropriate that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means the house of bread, and that He was laid in a manger. See, there's something in the heart of every individual, whether they're here or not. There's something in the life of every person, a hunger that only Christ can fulfill, that only the bread of life can fulfill. And He came to fill that emptiness, to fill that void, to give us what only He could give. And so we see the place of His coming. But I want you to see, secondly, the people involved in the Lamb's coming. While the people in Bethlehem were ignorant of the wonderful events that were happening all around them, God revealed the good news to some poor, humble men who are outside of town in the Judean hillside. We talked about them a little bit last night, but the Bible simply calls these men shepherds. These were men who were responsible for watching over flocks of sheep. They were dirty. These were men who worked very hard. Their job would have required them to be away from home for long periods of time as they searched for places to graze their flocks. Historians tell us that these shepherds would often be crude, would be vile men, that they would be known for their sinful lives and for their evil ways. Shepherds were almost always considered ceremonially unclean because of the duties of their occupation required of them. Also, their work prevented them from being regular attenders of the temple where they could be cleansed. And so they were like outcasts of society. They were considered the lowest of the low. Of course, it may have been these very men tended the lambs that would one day be brought to the temple and be sacrificed, but yet they themselves were considered unworthy. But it was to these men that he brought first these glad tidings. It was to these men who received the message of peace from the angel of the Lord. I'm just telling you, that's a blessing to me. Because men may not care about you. Your family may not care about you. Society may not care about you. People may look down on you in disgust because of who you are and some of the things that you have done in this life. But the very birth of Christ reminds us that there is a God in heaven who loves you in spite of everything. There is a God who desires to save you regardless of what you do and what you've done in this life, regardless of where you come from, if only you'll come to Him. I'm so glad today that the Lord did not hold my past against me. I'm telling you, this is a picture of grace. Regardless of a person's past or how low they have fallen in this life, I'm here to tell you today there is hope in Jesus for you. The Lord turns none away. He invites all who will come to Him to meet Him and to be saved by His grace. Regardless of your station in this life, if you will come to Jesus today, He will save your soul. Don't let some sin, don't let some situation, don't let your standing before others skew your standing before God. These men, the Bible tells us in 15 and 16, that they were obedient. As soon as they hear the news of the Savior's birth, they leave their sheep on the hillside and they run into the town of Bethlehem to find the Lord Jesus. When they arrive, they find everything just like the angels had told them they would. So as soon as they realize the magnitude of the things they experience, the Bible tells us, like we talked about last night, that they begin to share the news with everybody they met. They tell everyone they can about the baby in the manger, who is Christ the Lord. Of course, the people who hear them, the Bible tells us they're astonished and they don't really know what to make of it. But one of the great things is that the blessings of the gospel is that His grace and what He does in the lives of individuals, it's too good to keep quiet. What we receive, we take and we give to others. And that's the picture we tried to show last night in our candlelight service. But I want you to see one last thing. We see the place and we see the people involved, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the praise involved in the Lamb coming into this world. The Bible tells us in verses 9 through 14 that as those shepherds were just going about their business on that boring night, they're watching their flocks, that something astonishing takes place. There's this appearance of this heavenly entourage, and they're bearing good news that heaven has invaded earth and that nothing would ever be the same again. The Bible tells us in verse 9 that suddenly this angel of the Lord appears above those shepherds. No doubt the angel is blazing with brightness. It's like a flash of light. It lights up the night sky. The Bible tells us again that the shepherds are instantly terrified by this heavenly visitor. But the angel doesn't leave them in fear for long. He begins to speak, and as he does, he shares with the shepherds a message that heaven and earth had been waiting for 4,000 years. He tells them that the hope of the ages had been provided. He tells them the Savior has been born. He tells them that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one for whom the world has waited for since the Lord told Eve he was coming in the Garden of Eden, has arrived. He tells them that the Lord has been born in Bethlehem. He also tells them exactly where to find the child and how they'll recognize him when they do. What an announcement. The world has wallowed in the grip of sin for thousands of years, waiting for the appearance of this one who would come and sever the bonds of sin and deliver men from their sin's curse. And now they receive the message, he has come. The wait is over. Salvation will be accomplished just as God promised it would. And the announcement was made to those humble shepherds that were just going about ordinary business. You'll notice that the angel made the message, and this is amazing to me, personal to these shepherds. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. I circled in my Bible these words, for unto you. It's personal to them. Pointing it out right to the shepherds. I'm so thankful that the gospel message is a personal one. It was given to the shepherds on that day, but it's been made available to every single one of us. When God breaks in on the ordinary events of your life, please don't turn him away. You never know when God wants to take the routine and the ordinary and transform something in such a supernatural way in your life. Look at verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As soon as this angel finishes delivering heaven's message to the shepherd, he is joined by this great multitude of angels who praise God and declare the truth that the message is indeed for all men. It's interesting to me that when the angels appear, that the content of their statements are designed to praise and to magnify the name of the Lord. Bible says that suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God on the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I can just see it that night. Here the shepherds are there and this angel's delivering this message. And now there's this heavenly host and they begin to sing out. And you say, what do they sing? And here's what I think they sang. Something like, last Christmas I gave you my heart and the very next day. Something about Rudolph or grandma kissing Santa under, you think that's what it was? No, of course not. It was all about praise to God. It was about praising him. They did not sing about Frosty or Rudolph. They lifted up their voice and they thundered forth praise to God. I said a couple of weeks ago, someone, you know, we were doing the Christmas for kids and they were writing on the Christmas present that it was from Santa. And I said, that's crazy. I would never do that. I'm not giving some mythical creature credit for what I did. I want my kids to know, no, Dad worked hard. Dad paid for that. Not some big fictional thing. No, I did that. I want the credit. But you know, the reality is, I don't deserve the credit either. God did that. And that's what they're beginning to realize, is that they need to give the praise and the glory to the Heavenly Father. And so as the shepherds, they hear this message and they meet the Master, they return to their flocks, the Bible tells us, and they're rejoicing as they go and their voices are lifted up to God in the last verse of that we read in verse 20. And they're praising God for this glorious gift. But I want you to notice something very quickly. We're almost done. But notice the difference between their praise and the praise of the angels. Look at verse 11 again. The angels praising here says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. There's a difference here. The difference is between the praise of the angels and the praise of the shepherds. The angels praise the Lord for what he has done to others, but the shepherds praise the Lord for what he had done for them. That's a huge difference. I'm glad you are saved today. I really am. For everybody that's in here, I'm glad you're saved. But I'm really glad that he saved me. I'm so glad for personally what he did to me. When they heard the message, no doubt these shepherds were amazed and maybe even a little skeptical. But when they found Jesus, just as the angel said that they would find Jesus, and when they met him for themselves, they could praise him from a heart that had been convinced of truth. See, I was brought up to believe the Christmas story. All my life I heard that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and I did. I believed it was true. And hearing that as a child, that story always brought joy to my heart. But I'll never forget February 13th, 1983, the day when I met him for myself and found out that just like my dad had always preached and just like my Sunday school teachers had always taught and just like the Bible said, that Jesus was real and he could change and do something in my life. And when I did, I accepted him on that night. I'm telling you, I could praise him because I knew he was real. I knew he lived. I knew he was my redeemer. I could praise him because he had become more than just a story. He had become personal to me. Oh, I hope this morning that he's personal to you. Must have been something to watch this group of raw bone, rough neck shepherds leave that town rejoicing and praising the Lord. No doubt the last time they came through Bethlehem, they probably were cursing and acting like sinners, and people were pointing their fingers and saying, stay away from them. And now here these men are excited about what they've seen and who they've met. And they can't keep their praises to themselves, and they return to their flocks while their shouts fill the night air. See, that's what meeting Jesus will do for you. Oh, he may not make you shout. He may not make you be over exuberant like some can be, but he will change you. He'll give you a new life, give you a new way of life to go forward in. When he comes in, he changes everything. And when he does, there will be excitement about it. There will be joy. After all, he saves your soul. He changes you and he fills you. And the Bible says we get joy unspeakable, full of glory. And so would you agree with me this morning that the Christmas story is the most special story? God would send his son into this world to die for sinners. It's a blessing beyond description. That he would love us to a level, to this level, it's amazing. And it's, I'm telling you, it's beyond the power of words can describe. But of course, it's nothing more than a story until you experience the power of the Lamb in God's personal way. If you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day to accept this gift. You may enjoy hearing the Christmas story. You may love Christmas time. You may love waking up this morning in the presence and even coming to church. But until you have received the Lamb of God as your personal Savior, and until you know the power of his salvation, you never truly understand what Christmas is all about. You'll never truly understand what you need to know about this Lamb that entered the world to take away the sins of the world. And so my question is simple for you this morning. Are you in a personal relationship with Jesus today? Have you ever asked him to come into your heart and life and to save you? If not, would you consider doing so today? Just a moment, we're going to have what we call a time of invitation, and we're going to have some of our staff come forward. And as we do, we're going to invite you to come forward and let someone take the Word of God and show you that gift of salvation and how you can be saved. But if you are saved today, I want to ask you if, like these shepherds again, if you're praising God, if you're keeping that light to yourself, if you're spreading it and sharing it with others. If you've never been saved, will you embrace the heaven's Lamb? Will you accept his Savior to invite him in to come in and save your soul? The end of the story is simply this. The Lamb was provided for you so that you could have salvation. But in order for you to be saved, you have to accept that perfect gift that he gave. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.